I was told not to put my hands in my pocket and look where they're at. No. Good morning to you all. I'm very honored to be up here this morning to be able to speak before you. And I'm very thankful for those of you who have had me in your prayers the few weeks leading up to this day. And I'm also thankful for those of you who are still here, even though you saw my name in the messenger as a speaker. So I appreciate you not booking it. I'd like to start off this morning by saying I don't want to make today about me. I don't want the fanfare of speaking before you today, but there were a few things that I wanted to share with you before I start that kind of, I guess, let you know where I'm coming from and why I'm up here and speaking on what I'm speaking today. Many of you know that I was coming here since I was 3 months in my mom's tummy. I've been here my whole life, and it's been a family experience here. I've known most of you my whole life. Many of you have just blessed me beyond measure throughout those years, and I sincerely hope I've been a blessing to your lives as well. However, it doesn't always work that way, but families are kind of like that. What you may not know about me is over the last few years, I guess a little bit more so than before, I've kind of had this desire, so to speak, and perhaps a calling to come to the pulpit for ministry. It's something that's been on my heart. Something I'm not sure if it's just a desire I have or a calling that the Lord has called me to. But I've kind of looked at what it would take to come this direction. And I know my ministry is in the water department right now, and I can teach those his word there and live it there. But that is something that's been on my mind. And so right now I'm temporarily the gardener. I'm not the pastor yet. But I do the gardening on Fridays, and so there's a free pulpit here to practice on. I've actually stood here and imagining looking out at you guys. And I thought, well, what would it look like if I was up here? Or what would I say? Or what would I sound like? And if the first thought came across as me, then I knew it wasn't the right motives. I knew it wasn't me that should be up here. Because genuinely, my concern should be for you, the congregation. And so this last time when I was talking with Pastor Steve and he asked me to be up here, I genuinely felt peace in my heart about saying yes. And that's been the biggest prayer, is that I'm not concerned about what I look like today. I'm concerned about giving you guys the truth. And Pastor Steve has been great in meeting with me and preparing me for this morning. So I appreciate that in his role. It's not the first time, like I mentioned, that I've been up here. And the reason why I tell you these things is not so that you can say, oh, David did a great job. It's because from that moment that I first had that thought, I always knew what I would want to teach on from my first sermon. And as you can see, it's grace, because it is only because of grace that I'm able to stand up here this morning before you. There's no other reason. And I just wanted to share that, and hopefully today's sermon touches your hearts. It's such a beautiful word to my heart, because as you know, I have been here my whole life, but I haven't walked faithfully with the Lord my whole life. And so because of those years apart from him, because of his grace that brought me back here, because of the grace that you all have shown me in your life, because of the grace that he continues to show me, that is why it's such a beautiful word, and that is why we're going to be studying this morning. But before we start, let us open up in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this opportunity, and I just pray, Lord, that your word would be taught here today. I pray that each one here would be encouraged, Father, because of the love and the grace that you have shown us, the grace that you continue to show us, and the grace you always will show. And so, Father, let our hearts be encouraged to move us to be who you ask us to be. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Many of you have heard grace referred to as God's riches at Christ's expense, and some of you may not know what grace is. And it's interesting, we had that special singing last week with the Amazing Grace, and I was talking to my coworker, and he never knew Amazing Grace was a Christian song. And he's like, oh, you sing that in church? And I'm like, well, yeah, have you ever understood the lyrics or heard the lyrics? And so we broke it down, and it made a lot more sense to me. But I didn't understand how you can hear those words and not understand them. And so for those of you who do not know what grace is, and those of you who do, grace is defined as unmerited divine favor. Unmerited divine favor. And it is grace that enables us to receive both salvation and sanctification from the Lord. The Hebrew word for grace is chan, and it is used 67 times in the Old Testament. However, before we look at it in that actual context and in that actual word, I would like us to open up to Genesis chapter 2, and I want to look at grace in a different way, perhaps, than we're used to seeing it. So if you'll open up your Bibles, please, to Genesis chapter 2. We're going to be looking at verse 7. Genesis 2, verse 7. And it says, "Then the Lord God formed man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. The Lord God planted a garden toward the east in Eden, and there he placed the man whom he had formed. Out of the ground the Lord God caused to grow every tree that is pleasing to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now a river flowed out of the Eden to water the garden, and from there it divided and became four rivers. The name of the first is Pishon, and it flows around the whole land of Havilah where there is gold. The gold of the land is good. The delium and the onyx there, stone are there also." And it continues on to verse 15 where it says, "Then the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to cultivate and keep it." And so we don't see that Hebrew word chan there. We don't see the word grace there. But what we do see is that from the beginning of the Bible, and quite literally the beginning of creation, God proves his character to be full of grace in the way he interacts towards man, not only by what he provides for Adam, but in the abundance that he provides for Adam. We read, God did not just simply create Adam and breathe life into him, but God created Adam as the perfect man in the perfect garden with trees pleasing to the sight and good for food, a river to water the garden. I couldn't imagine him having a hose out there and pressured water to do that. The City of Brea Water Division hadn't been there yet. But also the tree of life, and eventually a suitable helper for him named Eve. So God doesn't just supply the basic needs. God provides an abundance. We have abundance in our lives. But there's no verse saying Adam did anything to earn this. God simply gave it to him. And God was demonstrating acts of unmerited divine favor in Adam's life, despite God knowing Adam would soon fall short of that standard God expected. God's grace, it was demonstrated here in a physical sense, in that he was providing for Adam in physical ways. But his grace didn't stop here, and we don't have to go very far, but please turn with me over to chapter 3 of Genesis. It's just a couple pages over, and we're going to be looking at verse 22 of chapter 3. So after the fall, God says in verse 22, "Behold, the man has become like one of us, knowing good and evil. And now he might stretch out his hand and take also from the tree of life and live forever." Therefore, the Lord God sent him from the Garden of Eden to cultivate the ground from which he was taken. And I want you to note, the concern here isn't simply that Adam and Eve are going to live